All right. Are we live? Assume you can hear me okay. If you can't, just hit it up in the chat. You just got me today. And already I got the E-Bob is telling me I spelled eulogy wrong. No, Bob, it's elegy. It's an actual word. So, welcome, Outposters. Welcome. Glad to have you here. Glad to be talking to you. I will try to go through some of my thoughts. I've got a lot of irritation with Hillbilly Elegy, but not at the movie itself. And I'll get into that as we go along. But before we get started, I just wanted to make sure you guys all know that we are doing a top 15 countdown. So send in your movie stars to contact us at lastmovieoutpost.com. And we are putting them together same way as we did the top 150. Movies. We're going to do the top 15 movie stars. I don't know if Marty is going to do it all, and we're going to push him out, you know, from bottom to top of all the ones that we get, or do the top 150, or if we're just going to do just the top 15. But I know for certain that I've got another video to cut together, and I'm looking forward to that. I guess the gold is apparently the same as green. Huh. Weird. So, welcome. Good to see you guys. Glad you're here if you're watching. And if you're not watching, I can't say I blame you. But we'll do our best. I will go through this, and then I will turn on Skype at some point, and you can contact us. You can contact me directly if you want to come on and tell me where I'm right, where I'm wrong, what I'm screwing up, and so on and so forth. So, remember, the website is www.lastmovieoutpost.com. The Twitter is at Movie Outpost. My Twitter is at DrunkenYoda1. And if you just go to lastmovieoutpost.com, you'll find all the links right there, and you can click on them, and you can go to YouTube.com/lastmovieoutpost. I have a BitChute now, and I've actually been putting some of the videos up on Rumble. And after this, I don't know, maybe YouTube will throw me off. Anything can happen. So we'll do the best we can. I got to try to remember to look right in the camera, not look at the video that's on the screen. Usually I have somebody and I'm always staring at that, but now I gotta do that. So, Biden broke his foot, Paul? I did not hear that. I had not heard that. So, there you go. He's going to be like Gerald Ford, but less graceful, I'm sure. Bending over to sniff something. Well, you know, I mean, this is who we elected, right? And, you know, you're kind of bringing me into what I want to talk about. And I'm really just... Part of the reason that we started, that I got involved with Last Movie Outpost, and why I feel like we have something to really contribute here, is because all of the media is so woke, and it has gotten to a point of decadence that is really alarming. And it's also really starting to brim over with, and I hate to use the term, but racism. But not like, you know, the standard stuff that SJWs talk about. It's just a racism of that people of different races are different. And I just don't see things that way. And Hillbilly Elegy is a movie that kind of brings it home to me. So let me talk about the movie first, and then I'll talk about the reaction to the movie and why I don't... Why I'm kind of angry about all this, because it's just kind of a microcosm of how badly the media has pretty much betrayed the public trust. So Hillbilly Elegy is a true story, as far as I can tell. And certainly they had pictures and old home videos of the actual people that were involved in this and what their lives are like and where they're at. You've got JD, who is played by, let me make sure that I got everything up here. Okay. JD is played by Gabriel Basso as an adult. I don't know who it is as a kid, but he's really good, and he manages to keep up with the heavy hitters of Amy Adams and Glenn Close. Glenn Close is nearly unrecognizable in her role as JD's grandmother, and Amy Adams plays his mother. And she really looks the part as well. And they all do a great job. And the story is... So I read in one of the comments, they said it made it sound like it was betraying the Appalachia people. I didn't see it that way. Now, I haven't read the book, so I can't tell you about the book, and I don't have any comparison to it. I can only look at the movie that was made by Ron Howard. Ron Howard can make a very good movie. He's a competent director. He has plenty of a hell of a pedigree under him. And while not everything he's done has been out of the park, I think of all those wretched Da Vinci Code movies, but certainly he has done a very good job, and the vast majority of his movies are usually eminently watchable. I just did the Overlooked, and I talked about The Paper, which is one I still really enjoy. Of course, you got Apollo 13 and some various others, so you got some really good movies here. And to give his take on this book, and I don't know if the book follows the same kind of structure or whatever, but an elegy is a, but it's not eulogy, it's elegy. It's a poem for the dead, where a eulogy is more like just a speech. It's an elegy is more of a poem or a story. It's more artful, I guess. And it's telling the story of trying to grow up in a house where people make bad decisions. And the mother has, I don't know what her story was, how she had her two kids, but she was a nurse, but she, had problems dealing with her dad growing up, who was pretty abusive in a lot of ways, but they loved him, and he wasn't, he was terrible, but he also, it's not so much, he's a bad guy, tear him up. And all these people that are in this, none of them are stupid people. They just, they've been getting a rotten time and a rotten starting place in life. And then on top of that, instead of taking advantage of their educational opportunities and not making bad decisions with drugs or alcohol, they've hurt themselves in a lot of ways. The grandfather, the Amy Adams father, when they were young, he was constantly drunk, and there was a lot of crazy abuse that went on when she grew up, and she took that with her, trying to do the best she could with her kids, but constantly, getting into drugs and messing up her life as well. And JD is the first one to not fall down that road and make those decisions, even though, as they flash back to his childhood, he has plenty of opportunities to do this. And it's not that he almost does go down that wrong road, as they show. And his maymaw, his grandma, who takes him in at one point and tries to, just straighten him up and get him on the right road. And there's no, these people feel very real to me. There's nobody here that's like just, well, they're Southern, they're hick, they're white, and they must be bigots. There's no hint of that in this. I get that, no feeling that. In fact, the mother ends up marrying an Asian guy in her long list of guys that she ends up being with that doesn't work out. And the JD, when he grows up, he marries an Indian woman. So there's no hint of that kind of stuff. So we're making these people look like multifaceted characters who actually are just broken. And that happens to you regardless of your circumstances if you make bad decisions, at least in this country. There are always circumstances set against you, but you can overcome those circumstances if you make good decisions with the opportunities that you do have. It'll be harder for you than it will be for, quite frankly, somebody like me, who, you know, I was lucky growing up. I'm not gonna lie. And I've tried to instill that in my in my kids, but I have known more than enough people in poor situations who made these bad decisions, and some of them made good decisions are doing better than I am. So the movie is structured where it's constantly going back and forth between this day in the life of, or a couple of days in the life of the adult, where his mom has fallen off the wagon again, and he needs to bring her out of the hospital. The hospital won't keep her for more than 24 hours. There's nothing she can do about it, and they're basically saying, "Yeah, screw you. You're good enough. You got to go home. It's policy." He's trying to pay for a rehab, and he doesn't have that much money yet. He's going to Yale, but he's doing the best he can. But he's not. He's got this job opening, an internship at a law firm. At some point, he'll make a lot of money, but he ain't there yet. In the meantime, he feels a certain loyalty and kinship to his mother, his sister. As much as they drive him nuts, he's also trying to forgive her and trying to help her as best as he can, while trying to juggle this new life that he's basically trying to get away from. But he's not trying to get away from it. I mean, he's a little embarrassed by it, but he's never really talked to his girlfriend about his entire life and what he grew up with. And that's part of what happened in this movie, is him finally breaking down and talking about his growing up, his Maymaw, and all these people that he grew up with, and the good and the bad. And it doesn't wash over any of the bad, but it doesn't make any of these people look like just these caricatures. And that's, I was pulled along through the entire movie. I really enjoyed it. Ron Howard knows how to structure and pull, you know, keep you involved. I'm not a big fan of the flashback, flash forward, flashback, you know, back and forth through time. That's a little jarring for me. You really have to kind of pay attention. But the, you know, they got some heavy hitters in this, and Amy Adams and Glenn Close do a phenomenal job, phenomenal, and JD, the Gabriel Basso, he's a newcomer, still pretty young. He was playing a kid in the Super 8, the J.J. Abrams movie that I'm not really a big fan of, but he did a great job in this movie keeping up with them, and there was no real weak links in any of the acting. So then you're left with, okay, the story makes sense. I'm pulled along. I'm entertained. I feel for these people as I'm going through. That's what a movie's supposed to do, is it not? I mean, what part of it is so off-putting to you? Well, apparently it's very off-putting to the damn critics. And let me bring it up here. Hold on here. And here we get into where I'm angry. So I like the movie. I recommend the movie. It's streaming on Netflix. Your mileage may vary. And I think this may hit you home. It'll hit some people home a little bit more, because you don't have to be in Appalachia to have these problems in a suburban or rural white America. You don't. And you don't have to have had these problems to have known people around you that have. And so when I look at this tomato meter, a 26%, whereas the audience score is an 81%. And I'm thinking, what the fuck movie did they see? So I started comparing a few things. Let's take a look at another movie that came out this year. From what I heard structurally and entertaining-wise, other than the shock value, it's a pretty pretty boring, lousy movie. But when you throw in the shock value, you got Cuties. And here's the exact opposite. 87% to 15%. What? The reason why I wanted to be a part of this, I started talking about this earlier, is that the press and the media that are giving this misinformation, that have gotten so political, this is what they extol. 11-year-olds doing sexual things to show how bad sex, that was their excuse. We want to show how bad sex is for kids. It's like saying, well, we want to show how bad killing puppies is, so we're going to kill all these puppies on screen so you'll feel bad about it. You don't actually have to do that. You can do it. You could do it tastefully if you really want to do that. And no interest in doing it tastefully. They wanted to show softcore pedo stuff. And let's face it, the media and Hollywood, all of these, the entertainment industry, is a real problem with sex right now. It isn't just Harvey Weinstein. You go from all the way back to Corey Feldman and the damage that was done to him, to even Brendan Fraser, who was accosted. You and you guys well know there's story after story of things, just horrible things happening to men, women, and kids in the entertainment and media industry. And it's this kind of stuff where you're extolling something like Cuties, but then you look at this movie and you don't like it. There's nothing in this movie that is shocking like Cuties. There's nothing there's no artistic merit to Cuties to do that. There's none. There's no real artistic merit. But this one has great performances, a great story. Whether or not it followed the book, or whether or not you like the book or you like the story, you feel like it's, I like, there was immediately on the site when I put up the live today on the site, they said, somebody said, I don't like the way he portrayed Appalachia people. I didn't see that in the movie. I saw very sympathetic people in the movie. People who are not dumb, just making bad decisions and having problems dealing with all this in their lives. So what am I to make of this? I mean, when you are extolling, like, you know, I know this is the Telegraph. The Telegraph gives 2 out of 5 stars for Hillbilly and Elegy, and it's just a lot of sneering nonsense. But then you get over to Cuties, and it's like 4 out of 5, a proactive powder keg for an age of terrified of child sexuality. Shut up. Here's the truth. If Hillbilly Elegy told the same story, but it was inner city black folks, it would be in the Oscars. It would. That's how fucked up the media is right now. And these people are stuck in this weird, decadent mess. And I wanted to do this site and try to be a little bit more subtle about it. Obviously, this live stream is not subtle at all. But I wanted to do something that was going to try to pull back the culture, to not just come out and say, Trump good, Biden bad, Democrats bad, Republicans good, and then talk about a lot of charts and graphs and tax programs. And God, nobody wants to watch. Idiots like me do, but most people, they just want to be entertained. So if you're going to entertain, you're going to have to come at them a little more subtly and talk about these kind of things in a different way. And hopefully, I think, and I get a great group of guys here that are all doing standout work in their stories without being really preachy. This one just got under my skin. And so if I'm getting a little preachy on here, or if I'm getting a little too much in your face, I apologize. But I don't know how any other way to react to this, because you've got, you know, Variety. Oh, they hated Hillbilly Elegy. It's just, I'm waiting for it to come up here. Hold on. Okay, yeah. Amy Adams' close act with down-home flamboyance and Ron Howard's overly safe adaptation. Okay. What'd you give it? I don't know. It wasn't it was a splat on Rotten Tomatoes. I know that. Variety with cuties. Oh, let's see. God, none of my stuff stayed up. Ah. So, come on. Yeah. Serves up stark choices for a reckless 11-year-old. God, Chrome, you suck. But you get my point. Cuties, 4 stars from RogerEbert.com. Hillbilly Elegy, 2.5. What is wrong with you people? I mean, what movie did you see? If you were sitting here and saying that these problems that these people face and are doing their best to try to improve from generation to generation, because that was the story, that the Glenn Close's generation with her husband was much worse. And Amy Adams had to grow up in that. And Amy Adams did a better job, but still had a lot of problems with her kids, JD and his sister. But those two are doing okay. They've kind of learned from it. And generation after generation, you improved. And that's what it was showing. How could you not get something good out of that? Now, look, if it's not your favorite deal, if this kind of story is not your favorite thing, or if you feel like maybe the overacting or you didn't like the structure or something like that, I can understand this. But really, this was a well put together movie. I mean, God, I've seen enough of them. If I'm bored and I'm not sitting there just, you know, I love Star Wars to death. You know, I rag on it as much as anybody. But, you know, I wanted to give this one a decent try. And my wife watched it with me. She wasn't sure about it. She was taken aback. So, I mean, you know, I call her my normie barometer, you know, because she's just not into all this political stuff like Nutball is here. So, the critics, I don't feel like you have a leg to stand on. You have lost all credibility with me. Rotten Tomatoes has lost all credibility with me, although it's hard to blame Rotten Tomatoes in and of itself because it just puts out whatever they put out. But the audience score at 81% and a tomato score of 26% is just showing the divide between people who just, you know, just living their normal lives and these guys who never step out of Twitter. They never get out of their offices. They never step out of Twitter. They go to all the fancy restaurants and they look down on all of us. And they're within that same group of all of these people who are in media, who are in Hollywood. They're in all these places. I mean, we've heard the horrible thing, you know, Matt Lauer and all these other people in media. They're awful. They're awful people. And now they're not even hiding it anymore. They look down on you. They look down on anybody that's in flyover country. And that's what that 26% is. Because there is a good story there and a decent movie. Is it an Oscar contender? I mean, like when the Oscars were still credible and not, you know, giving statues to women fucking fish monsters. I don't know. I certainly think the acting, Amy Adams and Glenn Close, certainly deserve a nomination, in my opinion. And I don't know how the Oscars are going to go this year because half of this stuff didn't end up in the theaters, so who knows. But both of them did a very good job, and I don't want to take anything away from Gabriel either. He did a fantastic job as well. And so I was just getting angry because I'm like going, why does anybody read this shit? And normal people, they do. They look at the Rotten Tomatoes score and say, oh, it must suck. So the only way this is going to get any kind of recognition is word of mouth. And people like me and some other people that are just going to say, hey, you need to go check this one out because it's not bad. And in a normal year, I probably would have looked at it and just given it, you know, a pretty good review. I mean, I give it a four out of five if I had to pick. Maybe the structure is a little off-putting, at least at the beginning. But once I got into it, I think it worked. But the acting is so good, and he did a really good job of putting it all together, especially after maybe the first 10, 15 minutes when you really get into it. And you could, you know, because the two stories running in parallel, they do hold together very well. And you can, you know, they easily go from one to the next. So once you get used to that, I think it's well done. And like I said, Ron Howard, Glenn Close, Amy Adams, there's no lack of talent here. Of course, the photography is great. Everything is really, really good in it. So this 26% is reserved for things like, you know, Jonah Hex. And I honestly believe that we got a bunch of evil bastards here who are putting this movie down because it shows the plight of some people who aren't the right color. And that's a shame, because you do not decide who gets help or who needs help on the basis of their color. This is why the All Lives Matter is the response to Black Lives Matter. Because no matter what your color is, if you need help, you need help. And whatever the circumstances are, which there are a myriad and there are a variety of them, everybody needs to be helped. And when you start singling out some, saying that others don't need, I mean, these people don't have white privilege. They don't have any privilege. It's ridiculous. So I like the movie. I love the movie. I mean, would I watch it again? Maybe. I mean, it's good. But I'm absolutely disgusted by the state of our media and the state of movie criticism these days. When something comes out that's just even the slightest bit political, that they would shit on it like this is disgusting. And every one of them should be ashamed of themselves. That's where I am with that. So, I mean, if you don't like the movie or you think I'm wrong, I understand. I mean, it's totally understandable, but it's really, really disgusting on how that goes. So I'm going to read some stuff here, and I'm going to put in the chat. I'm going to put in my Skype. So let me start up Skype here. If any of you guys want to get on and tell me where I'm being a complete and utter asshole, and if you're not sure, my wife will help you with that. Okay. So there's my Skype. Transition here. Okay. Skype cannot be used for emergency calling. That's good. Okay. So if you will just look for, where's the chat? What did I do with it? See, I'm completely out of sorts. I'm sorry. Rationalist Yoda, something like that. You'll see Yoda with a cigar hanging out of his mouth. And you can call me on that, and I will do my best to bring you onto the stream, and we can discuss. So anyone who thinks this comes off as false needs to watch The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, says Bourgeois Scum. E-Bob says, amen, Brother Yoda. Bourgeois Scum, crack was the white man's fault, yet the opioid problem gets ignored and blamed on the poor, not very progressive. No, because you're the wrong color. You're the wrong color to be helped. We don't help people that have white privilege. Never mind that you barely have a dollar to your name and you were raised by a drunk. No, you don't deserve any help. And we certainly aren't going to extol your plight by giving you a good review on this one story. By the way, Amy Adams and Glenn Close stuck up for the movie, and good for them. Good for them. I'm glad. I mean, they kind of have to, I guess, to a certain extent, but they didn't back away from the criticism, and good on them. John Podesta loved cuties. Yeah, probably. India Indian or Native American India? India Indian. It was from across the bay. Dot, not feather. Time to take up arms and take back the country. Well, I don't, you can't, that's the problem. You can't force this kind of thing, you know? We got to take back the culture. And then the country will get taken back on its own. And part of that is, is working within the entertainment that comes at us and trying to extol the things that I think are much more positive or could be helpful. And don't get me wrong. If this story was told exactly the same way, but it was all African-Americans or inner city blacks or something like that, I'd still say it was good. And I still say it would need to be told. I don't think that that the story shouldn't be told just because they're black, but why can't it be told if they're white? Why is that bad? Are those people not need? Everybody needs help, and we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Let's help those that need it. And you don't do that by separating out people by race. I don't know what's so hard about this. Drake Patrick, interesting channel and videos. Well, I'm glad you like it, Drake. I do my best. They're wondering where Dom is. Dom is probably still recovering from all the family he had to have over for Thanksgiving. And to be honest with you, I watched this last night and I just wanted to just get my thoughts out there before the emotion died down. So I'll definitely have another one with Dom soon, but I just wanted to put something out. Preach, loose rounds. Nobody cares about my people. That's right. Should check out Last Movie Outpost website. We have fun there. Yes, we do. Loose Rounds says I'm doing fine. Well, that's good. Bald Owl, if you capitalize the O, it would read better. Thank you, Bourgeois Scum, because I was saying it so wrong last week or the last stream, and I apologize for that. But yeah, you're right. It's too late. I've been Bald Owl for 25 years. I'm not the only one, but I'm the best one. I'll give you that. Dom's Armpit, great broadcast so far. I'm glad you like it. I'm doing the best I can. I don't usually fly solo, so you know. Fortunately, you can't see the pee running down my path. I'm so nervous. What if we just take all the liberals, boil them in oil, problem solved? It would be. You know what you need to boil and get rid of all the Das Kapitals, but you know, I'm not for burning books, so disavow. You would need a lot of oil there, Frodo. Yep. Water's cheaper than oil, I believe. Cookies. So I'm going to disavow all the violence that they're wanting to do. Sorry. Skype doesn't recognize your microphone. Well, I can't help you with that. Whoops. Somebody. Okay. Hold on. I'll get you. I'm accepting. All right, Indiana. You don't want to go first? Okay, well, you're the first one to hit, so I'll let you decide. You want to hit the ring button, you go right ahead. Everything Yoda is saying is right so far, except for the way he spells eulogy. It's elegy, Bob. It is a real word. Please go look it up on Google. Why Pippo are the devil? JR is right. The entertainment industrial complex is in a separate reality. Yep. I have a t-shirt that says White Devil. Hey, you know. When you anything worth doing, it's worth doing right. The only thing these people would listen to is fear. They don't fear us anymore. Dom's Arby, you did great. I'd get in the way. Dom, you wouldn't get in the way. You feel free to join in. So I'm running out of chat, so I'm gonna call Peach. Let's see. I will turn off the desktop audio for a minute, so you're not gonna be live when I first call you. Okay, you good? Wait. All right, cool, fine. I go first. Okay. All right. Here we go. Boom, boom. Okay. I hear the dinging. The Skype dings. Are you there? Hold on. This may be. I may not. No, I have it right. Are you there, Rob? Hey, there he is. I hear you. Okay. Do you have any video or is it just audio? It's up to you. I don't. It's whatever you're comfortable with. not going to do anything you don't want to do. Sounds like, all right. Yeah, I can't see you, but I don't know if you have your camera on or not. All right, so I'm going to, yep, I hear you. I can't see you, which is, oh, that's fine. I'm going to turn you on live now.
I don't think my camera works.
Well, that's okay.
So.
That's okay. You're getting to see the behind the scenes stuff.
Okay. No, it's not. My camera's not working.
Can you hear me now? No? Can you hear me? No?
Okay, cool.
Audio video settings. Hold on a second.
Oh.
Make sure my audio is correct. No, that's not the right microphone. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Is that better? For some reason, it took the wrong microphone. And it still says I'm muted.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that better?
There's a little delay.
Well, you're probably getting the delay from the, you're hearing me from the other.
That's right.
The stream.
Here, I'll mute the.
Mute the stream and see if you're hitting me on, if you're hearing me on actual Skype.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me?
How's it going?
I'm doing good.
Cool. You have 11 people watching tonight. It seems like you're blown up a little bit.
I have 11 people watching, but I also have 29 playbacks. So it could be pretty good. It's not receiving enough video to get streaming, but hopefully it will get better.
Okay.
So there we seem to be doing okay. So how's it going? Welcome. I know I've chatted with you enough times. I know you just put a new article up there. What was your article? What'd you do?
Yeah, it was a retro review of the Oliver Stone movie Snowden.
That's right. Yeah, it was good.
Thank you. I did just a little synopsis and then a review. So, but yeah, I've been following your site for a while since you guys started. But could never think of something to write. But finally sort of just overcame my fears and did it.
I'm finally getting to the point. I'm just writing like shit that I just want to write about. Like something will come and I was like, oh, I'm going to write about that. Whereas before I thought, well, it's got to be a movie. It's got to be like I did the Pixar, history of Pixar part one. And I got to get to part two and part three, but just something I wouldn't have done before, but now I'm doing it. So, can everybody hear him okay? Please let me know in the chat. Make sure. Because I'm taking phone calls now. So you listened to my rant, I assume.
Yeah, I did. You seemed passionate, for sure.
Yeah, it's not so much
like
about...
Like it was a raw feeling there.
It was.
That's hard to, like, try to do a podcast or try to communicate with people when you're feeling that way. So, kudos.
Have you seen the movie or no?
No, I have not seen the movie. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll watch it tonight then.
Yeah, you could stream it. I don't want to build up the movie like it's some amazing piece of work. It's fine. It's a good piece of work. Is it the best thing ever? I don't know. I mean, it's very, very good. What got me so revved up is I'm watching this movie. I'm saying, this is a very solid movie. Ron Howard doesn't, I mean, even Solo, there's some redeeming stuff about that.
Solo's actually, the first half of it is pretty good. The heist stuff I thought was kind of weak, but the characters were kind of compelling, really. I mean, but you have to sort of compare that against the Abrams and Johnson disasters. So it's like,
yeah, exactly.
Really comparing, I mean, it's good by comparison. Is it good enough for a Star Wars movie? Probably not, but it's kind of a guilty pleasure.
Well, Howard's trying to salvage something that was already there, that was already a mess, right?
Oh, right, that's true. It was the, I mean,
he's putting out a... his job was to put out a dumpster fire, and I think he did okay. But for what he had, I mean, you know, Solo isn't great, but it's competent at the very least. But when he makes his own stuff, like I said, I mean, some of my favorite movies are Ron Howard movies, you know.
The Paper, that's a great movie.
Splash, Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Hell, I even like Far and Away. I know it's a little overlong. I don't know. I like it. It's not my favorite, but every once in a while I'll pop it in and watch it, you know.
One of your video reviews about Far and Away, because I have not seen that movie. That would be interesting.
Overlooked.
Overlooked, yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it may reach an overlooked status. I don't know. It isn't a little overly long, and it has some cringy moments in it, but I guess I just enjoy it. Yeah. For whatever reason. You know, sometimes you just have those you just enjoy. So getting back to this one, I mean, I'm looking at this movie. I'm going, this is a fine movie. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. So why is it getting such shitty reviews? Why are they saying it's just over? And I mean, at this point, you can only come back to this ridiculous politics that they've shoved into every corner of our lives.
Where is the problem in the movie? Like, what's problematic about it from the woke crowd? Just that it is white sort people. Of like...
They don't come out and really say it, but they'll say, you know, they dress up their reviews. I mean, some of these guys have got... let me take a look at a couple of these. You know, they call it full of cliches. That's the thing. I don't see what... These are white Southern people who are not racist and not stupid, have some problems with drugs and alcohol, and make some bad decisions because of, you know, some of the people around them in their life that are making bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, they're multifaceted characters. To call them cliche is just downright insulting. And it never gets to that real melodramatic that you would see in a Lifetime movie or something like that. At least I never felt it did. Okay. It's a prestige slog full of flat, sneering caricatures. What the hell movie did you see, Simmering Hands? Simpering. With his soupy, impersonal manipulations of memory and experience, void of the burrs that attach them to the world at large. Yeah, he's making a story about family and their struggles within their family and his ability to go out to Yale or to deal with some of the larger, you know, the class that he isn't a part of. But I mean, he's trying. Howard, whether intentionally or not, has made a libertarian's fantasy.
Huh.
What the fuck movie did you watch? Can you not watch everything through this
That's
weird,
a red flag for sure.
Psychotic, culty prism that you put in front of everything? He says it's not an inspirational tale. It's an American horror story.
Hmm. Is there any sign of racism about it whatsoever?
No. The closest you get. Okay, so Glenn Close's character. Now, the flashbacks go back into the 90s when he's about 13 years old, which means that her character was probably born in the 20s.
Okay.
So, you know, she grew up in a very different era of America, and yet she seems to have no real problems with people that are different. Like, she doesn't have any problems with black people or anything. There's no real hint of that. When she finds out her daughter marries an Asian person, she doesn't really have a problem with it because he's Asian, although she kind of wonders what her daughter is doing and why. But it's more about why is her daughter such a mess and what could she have done better as a mother to fix that?
Yeah. Is it like a cynical? Do you think it's like a cynical movie or is no. it kind of a movie
no.
that's like about these traditional values that maybe that's what they don't like?
I mean, do these people have traditional values? No. I think what they don't like is that there is a class of whites in this country that usually live in the cliche trailer parks. Although these people didn't live that badly. I mean, they were poor, but they weren't like in shacks or something. They were in okay homes, lower middle class, but they had a lot of drug and alcohol problems, and they, you know, there's no father in the home and that kind of stuff. So, you know, they have real problems, and they have to try to overcome those problems, or at least generationally they do.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it's like you don't have to make the same choices that your parents did. Just because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean you have to do that. And that was where his meemaw kind of redeemed him herself because she didn't do as well as she should. And she admits it, you know. But she does her best to keep him away from the worst element in the neighborhood, which, you know, they smoke a lot of drugs and there's the opioids and everything else that's going on there. So
yeah,
why would you think that's not you personally, but I mean, why would anybody be cynical about this? They're cynical because it wasn't an oppressed minority.
Do you think that's the only reason? Just because you feel like they shouldn't like have a voice at all because they're poor and white?
Yeah, they hate us. They're Trump supporters, and we don't like them. Even though there's no mention of any of that in this. I mean, the movie takes place in, I think, the present is actually 2013 or something like that. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's no mention of Trump or any of that. There's really no politics in this movie at all. It's not really a thing. It's just about, you know, it's a family drama of people making bad choices and trying to overcome them and yet still help your family where you can. And
so it's not like a Steel Magnolias or something where it's like romanticizing.
No, like I would say, South, you know, or it never gets to that kind of melodrama. Now, you know, this is this guy's story, and whether or not you believe him or whether he, you know, pushed his version of it more, I don't know. It's difficult for me to say, but you know, maybe. I mean, it's. I haven't read the book, and you got to make your own judgment on whether or not you think he's telling, you know, the truth and that kind of stuff. Personally, I just couldn't find anything in here that went over the top. And if these are the things that actually happened or the things that he remembers in his life that he wrote down in the book, you know, his mom seems to be doing better now. She seems to be sober. That was the nice thing.
This is based on a popular nonfiction book.
No, it's a true story. They showed pictures of the guy.
Like a memoir? Yeah.
Yeah. They showed pictures of the guy and his family, his Indian wife, and home videos of the Meemaw and his mother. And boy, oh boy, Amy Adams and Glenn Close, they made him up to look. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have cast it any better as far as physicality. I think
could be part of like the root of the jealousy from like the critical establishment, because, you know, the question of whether or not he told the truth in this memoir, that becomes really controversial.
Well, it definitely doesn't fit a narrative. It definitely doesn't fit a narrative. And if it doesn't fit a narrative, and if it shows that maybe white people have some problems, you know, that not, you know, we're not all sitting here just, you know, sitting on piles of money and everything's wonderful. I mean, there's people have real problems in this country. And of every color and every, and that's how we have to attack it. It's like if the people has a problem, they have a drug problem, it doesn't matter what color they have. We got to get them off the drugs. What's so controversial about that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to watch this movie and very closely and figure this out, what the problem is. Because it doesn't seem like there is one, or there should be one.
No, I mean, if you want to grade it artistically, like I said, from an artistic point of view, I would say that I was, at least at the beginning, I was a little put off by the dual timelines. That's just a personal thing. But as far as the stories that it was telling and whether or not it all held together, once I got used to it, I just wasn't expecting the back and forth like that. So, that's more of a structural complaint, not really a complaint about the story or something. So, why, if it doesn't fit the narrative and if it isn't taking care of the oppressed people that they have decided, the white people in charge have decided who's oppressed and who's not. I mean, how much more racist can these bastards get? And so I listen to all these blue check marks, because every one of these damn reviewers, or at least the top rated ones, the ones that work for newspapers, but most of the ones, like I went to some of these different websites that are kind of like ours, but they clearly have this ridiculous social justice
ideology.
Yeah, mentality and ideology. When did everybody become a group? At a label?
I mean, the studios seem to be under pressure from these people to not rock the boat, like when it comes to these woke politics and stuff like that. But by the same token, they're under pressure from China to take, the patches off Maverick's uniform because it says something about Taiwan, and they do it. They'll cave in to just about anyone.
Yeah, there's some brown people or some yellow people, I guess. There's some people they don't care about. Well, the brown people, the Uyghurs.
Yeah.
They're getting oppressed. The free speech, they're just destroying it. But they've sold out all our manufacturing to all these people. So, which
they
hurts.
They could care less about any of that.
No, they could care less. I guess my point is that you need to stop listening to these people. And you need to start reading everything on Last Movie Outpost because we're right.
Well, it's hard because, we're clearly right, but
obviously,
I mean,
we're completely
hard.
Correct.
The traditional media is shrinking. There's not very many outlets anymore, and they're all controlled by the liberals. So.
Well, I mean, this is beyond just, left and right and whether or not, you want to have more taxes or less taxes or that kind of stuff. I cannot find common ground with people who apparently think Cuties is a magnificent work of art and that Hillbilly Elegy is a piece of trash. I don't know how to come together in some sort of... I don't know how to do that anymore.
I have not seen Cuties either. you couldn't get me to watch that one, I don't think.
I watched...
Although, isn't that a French film, is it? Isn't it French?
I think so. It got marketed on Netflix. It got put forth on Netflix. Also lost subscribers to that. Now, I'll give Netflix credit for putting this one up. They seem to be. We'll put that up. We'll put Hillbilly Elegy up. There's something for everybody. I think that Cuties crosses all kinds of lines that I'm just gobsmacked that got released, and not only got released, but that they're, extolling its virtues. You've got 11-year-olds twerking and doing sexual dancing, and why is that good? Especially with all the horrifying
edge kind of in terms of like sexual politics. I mean, with the transgender issue, it's really muddying the waters, kind of, for people on the left, especially. So I think that when something like Cuties comes along, they don't really know what to make of it. But because we've gone so far off the deep end culturally that, they'll make an allowance for it just because they think that it sticks a finger in the eye of, you know, the right, maybe. Maybe not the quote-unquote right, but, you know...
Traditionalists, I guess.
People who... I don't know. Yeah, people who are a little bit more reticent about some of these issues.
If this is what you have to do to win, I feel like it's that, you know, that old clip from that comedy where the Nazi, it's like some British show, but it's like two guys playing Nazis and the one guy kind of goes, wait, are we the baddies? Yeah, you're the baddies.
Yeah, what was that? The guys from Peep Show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're the baddies, guys. If softcore child porn is good and this movie is bad, you're the bad people. Okay? I'm sorry. I don't know any other way to put it anymore. There's no common ground. There's nothing I could come together with you on. Okay? If this is where your head is at because you hate Trump or you hate flyover country or whatever the hell it is, in your little
right.
Twitter bubble, your little cult bubble that has gotten you so far off of what normal, regular Americans have to deal with from day to day, and you don't understand the damage that you're causing, which, I mean, how many absolutely. Actors and actresses, Rose McGowan and all the rest of them, have to come out and say, I got raped by somebody in Hollywood, by a high-end reporter. I got, you know, the casting couch. I mean, there's no insurance adjuster's couch.
Oh. Well, that's true. But, I mean, Hollywood has been really gross and decadent for, like, 100 years. You know, that stuff's been going on. If you read...
so much worse now.
Raymond Chandler. What's that?
I think it's getting so much... I mean... We knew it was bad in the 80s.
Well, look at Bryan Singer. I mean, people knew about him. And Kevin Spacey. People knew. I mean, I heard rumors about both of those guys from people in the industry like years and years and years before they ever got in trouble. So, like, it was in the air. Like, the Epstein thing. I mean, people were sort of, like, aware of his whatever you want to call it for a long, long, time. Before, but I think it was like it's normalized or something among.
What do you continue? So these same writers are going, yeah, man, Epstein and Kevin Spacey, so problematic. We don't like those guys. Now let me tell you how wonderful Cuties is. What? What? How do you bring that together?
That's true. How's it not canceled? Yeah.
That kind of back and forth like that makes my brain snap in half and fall out my nose. I don't understand it. Well, I'm gonna get some more chats here if you don't mind.
All right.
Let's see how we're doing here. If I can get it to pop out. There we go. Somebody's going to cut that phrase out of context on me. okay. Green screen ghost drink is fun. Yes. Call Brian Cox. I'm not sure why. Loose Round says he lives about an hour from the whites of West Virginia. E-Bob, everything Yoda is saying is right so far, except the way he spells you. Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Okay. I need to come down here a little bit more. The video frozen up. Hope it's better now. It seems to be better now, but for some reason I lost connection for a few seconds. Ballsy to do this live. Yeah, I wanted to try to do it live and see what can happen. Paul says take phone calls. I am taking a phone call right now. Got him on here. We're doing the best we can. Bang it, adjust the rabbit ears. Solo is an ugly movie. The photography in Solo, it's like they filmed the whole thing through like they smeared mud on the lens. If this was about a crack mother from LA, it would be gritty and powerful protest against the elitist ignorance of the 80s. Yeah, exactly. Topeka, Kansas. Hello. Hey, I work in Topeka, Kansas. Yeah, if it was about some welfare queen and her kids, it would be stunning and brave. Exactly. Boone. Great chat, Yoda. Hadn't heard of this film. Plan on checking it out. Yeah, I would like to... I'd like to say it's hard for me. See, here's my problem that I'm having right now is that when I watch a movie like this, but because I can't just watch a movie and enjoy the story for what it is and get some honest feedback on a level that makes sense. We got to help people that need help. Where I've got all these people now that are attacking this movie or shitting on this movie because they're so far off what I grew up as normal human behavior that I can't watch movies now normally anymore and go, oh, that was a fun story. I got to say, okay, is he trying to say something about social justice? Why is this black person cast? Does it make any sense? Is this white person? Are they shitting? You know, it's like, why can't I just enjoy the damn movie? You force me into your cult, or at least the awareness of your cult, because of all the things you say in the background. I'm hearing that in Wonder Woman 84, the bad guy is Trump. And that's why they're shoving it out so quickly on HBO Max. Because if Trump's out of office, it won't be timely anymore. Which I thought was an interesting theory. And if that's true, because I don't see a whole bunch else going out to HBO Max or some things, yes, but there's still a lot being held back for the summer movie season. That's an interesting idea. Maybe that's what's happening. It bothers me that I cannot watch a movie anymore. I have to watch it. And then I see this kind of thing and all these stupid political hackles go up because everything's got to be political now. I can't watch football without being political now. Stu needs a deeper voice. We'll fix it in post. Dom's Armpit. Weren't these kind of stories very popular from the 90s to the early 2000s? Eminem had a movie made about his... Yeah, good point. Coal Miner's Daughter won an Oscar, says Bald Owl. Yeah. I guess our time is up. Yes, of course it's French. Cuties, Bourgeois is talking about. Of course it's French. Baby touching surrender monkeys. Yep. These two guys watch Steel Magnolias. That's pretty gay. I'm telling you, it's sad. It's a good movie. She dies. I can still cry about it. One child twerking in a 10-second YouTube video is funny. 90 minutes of it becomes creepy and borders on pornography. It does. It does. And even in a 10-second YouTube video, I mean, it's like, why are they letting the kid do that? I think what bothers me the most, like, you only get, 10, 12 years to be a kid and not know about all this stuff, and then it's gone. You never get that back. Why are we so quick to push them out of it? Well, we know why, because Hollywood's full of pedos. You next thing you know, they're meeting each other's parents. Boone's Beta Unit says Donnie Darko had some sparkle motion sexualized dancing in the view of Swayze's character. Thoughts? Spoilers. Yes, I'm sorry. Spoilers for a 31-year-old movie on Steel Magnolias. Sorry, Boone. I haven't seen Donnie Darko in over a decade, and I remember some of it, but I don't remember. I think my problem was that the time travel with it just kind of, it's like, well, it just didn't make sense to me. The loop didn't make sense. But, yeah, that's a different deal. And it was a different time, I guess. So, what do you got, Peach? What do you got, Indiana Peach?
Yeah. About Donnie Darko or just in general?
Anything you want to say.
Yeah. I was thinking about reviewing, like, EU Star Wars books for the site. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Book review. Absolutely.
Okay.
If you ever want to have a discussion on, I think it's the Jedi Academy trilogy.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that one. I'm going to start with the Heir to the Empire.
The Zahn books are great.
But those Jedi Academy ones, yeah.
They're bad.
Cool.
They are so bad. The nonsense of Han and Lando keep betting the Millennium Falcon back and forth and acting like children. I really don't like those. But I do think the Zahn books are amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I read a lot of them when I was a kid, but I don't remember them. But I thought it would just be fun to, like, talk about them and stuff like that since there's no movies coming out. And there's not much
really. We want to do... we want to expand out more, definitely. So, I mean, I got...
I checked your Alexa numbers for the site, and it's gone up like 3.3 million spots in the last 90 days. So
really,
seems pretty good.
I don't know how I haven't checked Alexa, so but that's good. We have had a significant increase.
Ain't lately. It cool? We're still losing to Ain't It Cool.
Yeah. Oh, they're the first ones we want to take down, and then we're gonna get into Screen Rant and Dark Horizons. We're coming for y'all. All you woke nonsense, you're going down. We're going to have fun again and watch movies because we enjoy them. And let everybody know that we don't like this stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. Okay, well, I think I'll go ahead and hang up for now. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for joining. Let's see if we have another caller. If not, I'll probably wrap this up because I've been going on for an hour and it's just been me. So usually I take a break in between.
It's been riveting.
All right. Take care, man. Thanks for joining. Thank you. Okay. Does anybody else want to join? Speak now. If you want, I got a guy here. Well, I don't want to give out his name because I don't know who he is on the chat. So, but I will ask if you want to join in Skype. And if so, call. If not, I'm probably going to wrap this up here in a few minutes. Boone says to give Darko another shot. One of my favorites on many levels. I will. I mean, I don't recall hating it or anything. In fact, I do remember sticking with it quite a bit. It's very much more of a, I guess you say it's more about the atmosphere than the logic, and that's the part. Sometimes I have a little trouble with those kinds of movies. So I'll try, next time. Okay. Dark Horizons is infected with cancer and AIDS. Okay, bald owl. Gaspar No should helm the new Star Wars trilogy. Let's get weird. Bourgeois, you watched The Black Hole last night. 1979. Ernest Borgnine classic, baby. I really like The Black Hole. But a lot of that I know is because it came out when I was eight or nine, and I really, you know, it was all about space and you know, all that kind of stuff. But I do think I've watched it since, and one, the sets and the production value is fantastic, and two, they Maximilian is pretty terrifying. Especially when you're 8 or 9 at that time. And then the ending is so bizarre and so weird. And it's I appreciate them swinging for the fences. I can't say that they maybe got a ground rule double out of it if I had to keep the baseball analogy up, but I do enjoy it. And I do enjoy the some of the effects, like when they're running across the gantry and the asteroid is coming through. I think it looks really, really good. So I really enjoy it. And I like the score for it too. Even though it's a little repetitive, I think it works for what they do. You know what Black Hole feels like to me? It feels like a throwback to the 50s type of sci-fi. Like somebody who was trying to do a Star Wars plus a 2001, but never really made anything that wasn't, you know, like a 50s sci-fi type movie, like a Forbidden Planet or something like that. It feels out of its time. It doesn't feel like something post Star Wars to me. It feels like something that's much earlier. But I do like it. Black Hole on regular rotation, double feature with Last Starfighter. I just watched Last Starfighter recently. It's very cartoony with the special effects because, you know, it's 1985 or 84, but you really can see wow, what they could be doing with sweeping camera motions and things that just weren't possible with models, with the aid of a computer. It feels like you're watching the future. And, you know, now in hindsight, they really had it right as far as some of that kind of stuff goes. So I really appreciated it. And it's just fun. I think it's fun. It's a good movie. Black Hole is the precursor to Event Horizon. It's the Disney version of Event Horizon. That's nice. Could be. Could be. So, guys, I do appreciate you sticking with me. Gone about an hour. I'll stick this up on the podcast site. We do have a podcast, by the way, and you can just listen to the audio. I usually put this up a day or two later, hopefully by the next day. But, if you want to listen to this when you're out and about, certainly it's available for you there. Email us, contact us at lastmovieoutpost.com. That's the email address, contact us at lastmovieoutpost.com. Tweet, of course, you know, subscribe to us. If you haven't subscribed to us all on YouTube, please do, and please share these videos. The best thing you can do, not just for the site, but for the videos and for all of it, is to share it out as much as possible. If you guys, you know, if you go to Reddit or if you comment on different videos or if you have your own Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff, we'd really appreciate it. The more we can get people coming to the site, the more we can be self-sustaining and hopefully not to beg for money and that sort of thing anymore. And it is helping. We are getting more ads, money, at least enough to pay for the hosting. And I think, almost had a nervous breakdown in October, but our new hosting, I think, is much, much better, and I think the site really does well. So I do appreciate it. We'll try to keep this up. I'll see if Dom, are you still out there? Are you still on the chat, or did you pass out? Are you face down in your cereal bowl? Just let me know. But if so, I will try to get Dom on this week. We'll do a second one later this week, maybe on Thursday, like we usually do. And then I have a couple of videos I'm going to be making. I have written a Christmas poem, and I'm going to set that up and try to get it out there just in time for Christmas. And I'm very pleased with it. So it's really silly and stupid, and that's how I like it. Thank you all very much for watching, and we will see you on the next stream.